What's up, Fool Podcast? Welcome to the What's Up, Fool Podcast for another week of Rodrigo Torres.
Yeah, man.
And Felipe Esparza doing our thing. What we do every week, we get here and we just talk about stuff that happens. Last night, though, we had an awesome night. Tuesday night, I don't know, it wasn't really last night, but Tuesday night, I had a show at the Comedy Store. It was sponsored by Donuts and SpeedyWeed.com or SpeedWeed.com. What is it?
SpeedWeed.
SpeedWeedDelivery.com.
Yeah, man. Delivery services.
And they gave us a care package. Oh, man. A lot of stuff in there, man. I had like five vape pens.
Edibles?
Did you open your package already?
Nah, dude. I just opened up the package and ate the donut. I shoved it.
Yeah, the box, there's an ashtray in there, like a metal ashtray. It's like a metal ashtray in there, and it comes with a little package of five pre-rolls.
I seen the pre-rolls.
Yeah, I got like, I don't know how many, three packages of pre-rolls.
Oh, yeah.
Still wondering how good they are.
It says indica. Oh, shit.
I always feel like sometimes, man, if they went like some of these pre-rolls are way, they went way out, huh, on the packaging.
Yeah, dude, it was badass.
Like how about this, man? Forget about the packaging and all that fancy stuff. Make sure the quality is good.
Oh, hell yeah, dude. When the packaging is better than the weed.
Yeah. Mine came with a rose. Yeah, but the weed tastes like dirt.
Damn.
But it was all good, right?
Hell yeah, dude.
Yeah, man. It was like the guy gave me like 10, I'm exaggerating, 10 joints to pass out during my set, and I was having such a great set, I forgot.
Just smoked them all.
Yeah, man. It was like the first time like we had enough joints to pass one out to everybody.
Hell yeah.
Here, you take one.
Hell yeah.
Light it up.
Did you get lit up or what?
Yeah.
Hell yeah, dude. I got stizzoned, dog.
I was not like drop dead, you know, like drop dead like Joey Coco or Lee Syatt. I was at a good level where I could still concentrate and maybe drive.
Like a sativa high.
It was very sativa. But the vape pens, man, very classy.
Yeah, I haven't even hit them yet, though. They look bomb, though.
I'm glad you got a box. Shout out to Russell Peters.
Yeah, dude, I'll give it to you, man. I was like, what? Hell yeah, that fool from Speedweed was looking at me like, why are you holding that box?
Shout out to Roots of the Game.
Yeah, man. Those are badass shirts, too.
Didn't bring no t-shirt with him.
What happened?
Oh, like, give me that one you're wearing.
And that dude, his name's Gino, right, from Speedweed?
Gino. Shout out to Gino. He might be on a podcast in January.
Hell yeah, dude. What up, dog?
The first time I heard of him was because Fred Stoller used to get the stuff delivered from him.
When he first started smoking?
Yeah. Also, a big thank you to Sam Tripoli for hooking up that show.
Comedy Chaos.
Yes. The show was packed. It was a comedian named Abby.
Eleanor Kerrigan,
Brennan Schaub, Chris D'Elia, Brian Callen, Joe Rogan. Vanessa Mitchell showed up at the end.
Russell Peters,
bro.
And you, Doug.
And me, Doug. Oh, busted out 19.
Hell yeah, it was a good-ass show, Doug.
It was good, man. And some guy tried to sneak in, bro.
What,
lying.
The linger?
I think if you could lie your ass all the way in, man, you won it. But you ain't coming back.
Not to be a dick, dude, but I knew there was something smelly about that fool, but I didn't want to say nothing, dog.
Me too, man.
But I didn't want to be the bearer of bad news.
He showed up, and like he kept asking him, like, I want to do the podcast, but who are you?
What do you do?
I went to his page. There was nothing funny, man. Nothing amazing. And he didn't really work for the radio station he was doing. He was claiming.
He's an intern.
Intern.
A liaison.
He's still in college.
He wants to blow up, huh? It's that easy, huh?
He wants to be an architect like George Costanza.
Oh, my God, dog.
Anyways, man. Upcoming shows. This weekend, I'm going to be at the Ontario Improv. Sold out. All the shows are sold out. But next week, December 8th, I'll be in Salinas at the Fox Theater with Marcela Arguello, Rodrigo Torres. December 9th, Bakersfield at the Fox Theater. December 14th through the 17th, Addison Improv in Addison, Texas. In January, I'm coming to Boulder, Colorado, Portland, Oregon, Chicago, Illinois, New York, Palm Springs, Coachella, California, that's Spotlight 29. Tucson, Arizona, Casino. Check out all FelipeWorld.com tour for all show dates and ticket links at FelipeWorld.com. Shout outs to iTunes reviewers, Glenn from Hacienda Heights.
Shamu 812.
Tack and Violet.
C. Kayam.
Starsky 11. Dan 1. Anthony Granny from Louisiana. Who dat?
El Buffalo.
Aaron Slobochek. Slovy. The Wolf of 83. Polly Mack from the Hat Store in San Francisco. What's up, Polly Mack? I just met this guy one time with his wife at the Hat Store. E.P. Moreno, who says, leave the wife at home. Sorry, Lisa, you can't be in the show. Man, I wonder, like, funny man, one time I posted a photo of Lisa and I, and some guy wrote some nasty-ass shit, bro. What did he write?
He said, damn, beat that shit up, homie.
Let it all out,
If you're listening, bro, I did beat it up, bro. And went home sad.
Left marks on her.
What did it say right there, bro?
Where? On the bottom? We're looking for a few experienced web designers to overhaul our website. Email at fans@felipeasworld.com for more info.
Tell them, Lisa.
We want to overhaul our website, and we want experienced. I don't want any newbies. I want experienced web designers. No, this is not like a freebie job. We'll pay and everything, but I'm looking for somebody
good.
Yeah,
man. If your drawings are in crayon, don't hit it up, man.
This isn't for the logo. We might have a logo contest.
Oh, what is it for?
This is for the website redesign. I want to hire somebody.
This is for a redesigned website, man.
But
let me tell you, man.
Ask the listeners first, because we have a lot of artists listening. So.
If you just started making memes last year, don't hit us up.
No, I want a web designer to hit me up, and let's talk.
Also, December 1st, the vinyl and digital of my album of the comedy special comes out. You can listen to it on iTunes, Android phones, Spotify, the dark web, whatever you can find it, man. And we have a vinyl for it, too. It'll be a collector's item. And it's a real vinyl, man. It's a pop-up video in there, digital, and
got a poster, no?
A poster
it's
in there.
It's a double vinyl album.
Double vinyl. Here you go.
And
thank you.
It is an hour long, and it also has a download card, so you can get the digital as well. And it has a poster. And there are only 500, and they're numbered. And 180 gram vinyl, yes. They're the nicer.
They're the hard vinyl, man. The one you can break on someone's head and it shatters. What's up, Fool Podcast? So last night, man, we're at the comedy store. I don't really go out too much because every time I go out, man, people give me ounces.
Too much weed to carry?
Yeah, man. And I was in a Lyft ride, man, and a Lyft driver could smell everything, bro. He was like, man, so as soon as I got a Lyft ride, that fool said, that was cool how you hook up your homie out there.
Now, when are you going to hook me up?
For real,
with dog? A couple nugs.
He was like driving, bro, with his hand out, bro, like this.
Little turn into a little cup, a little segue.
He could tell, bro, like he was like, yeah, that's cool, man. Yeah, man, speedweed.com. He hooked it up. Oh, yeah, man, they hiring?
Is that outdoor?
Gino the Cucino.
Yeah, man.
Not to be confused with Gino Michelini from 35.7 Calloway. Damn. Cool. Well, took it old school, how, bro?
Hell yeah, that's way old school.
So, man, what's up, bro?
Chilling, dog. Just got back from Midland.
Hell yeah, bro. Shout out to, man, the weather's been hot, man.
Oh, my God.
Thanksgiving was sad enough for people like me who are over 265, man. It was the first fucking Thanksgiving I had to wear a T-shirt, bro.
Stay in the shade.
Fool. I look like it was Thanksgiving. Look like a barbecue in my house. Cause I'm used to like showing up, bro. The guy with the thickest sweater, bro.
Layered,
bro. Looking thin with my little eggnog. You can't be cool with a T-shirt on Thanksgiving.
God damn, with the stain on it.
Was that me or was my hair?
Popping that frequency.
What's up? Well, we have a guest today, though.
Oh yeah, a legend.
All the way from Philly.
Bronx, right?
Philly. I mean, that.
Yeah, he's like Philly.
Yeah, bro, we have Michael Blackson here, bro. He just came back from being kidnapped.
Motherfucker.
That fool got kidnapped, bro.
Yeah, man.
By Tyree.
Tyree.
Tyrese.
Oh, Tyrese.
Yeah. I thought I knew. It looked kind of fake to me, man.
What more do you want from me?
Dude, I didn't know that fool. Dude, how can you make like 7 Fast and the Furies and still be behind in child support, dog?
Popping too many bottles, dog.
I don't know, man. You know what? He was like me, bro. Like, I didn't pay child support ever, right? Like, I was hoping for that big pay to show up. Then everybody gets paid. And, you know, when I won last Comic Standing, I had no choice. They made me pay.
Damn.
Well, they'll get you.
Once, like, it's funny, like, when like, serious people know you have cash, like, the people who actually want it. Not the people that are on the streets that you owe $200 to. Not those motherfuckers.
Those that are happy for
I'm
you.
I'm talking about, like, people, like, in government. They know when you have the money, man, because when I was collecting unemployment, I still had a job. And they wanted their $1,700.
Double dipping.
Okay. Montgomery Ward wanted their money for that cheap-ass oven I never paid for.
God damn.
I bought an oven for $185, bro.
What did it turn out to be at the final price?
Fuck.
I ended up settling that bill. When he won, I cleared out all his debts. And nice. I ended up settling that bill for $300. And it was all those years later. But you owed like 6, and I talked him down to half.
Thieves, man.
300, right. And it was $180 on credit originally?
Yeah.
God damn, dude.
Are you going to introduce?
Yes.
Yeah, from New York.
What's up from New York City? From New York City.
Yeah, he and I
house
look so much
party
alike.
1, 2, 3, and 4.
How would you see that in Spanish? Casa de fiesta?
La casa de fuerza. La casa de puro party. That's what you say in Chicanx. What's up, fool? Chris Reeve. Get in play, man.
What's up, fool?
Speaking of just wearing a t-shirt, bro. I remember, man, I did a show with Kid, Edwinson Juan, Edwin's ex-crazy chick, and in Seattle, bro, at a University of Washington.
Oh, wow.
And, bro, it was 66 degrees, dog. Almost 59. And Kid was wearing a fucking silk t-shirt, bro, only with a gold chain. And he wasn't even fucking cold, man.
On the road, dog.
You know, I said New York sometimes, you know. But now I'm totally pussy now. It goes below 75. I'm acting like a bitch. So, yeah, I forgot about that show. That's good. But we did lots of shows together.
A lot of
years.
Shows,
oh, my
bro.
Goodness.
With Fly.
Yeah.
We did a show with Chris where we don't know. We were doing comedy. We're performing on stage. And the whole time, it's hard to be funny because you're keeping an eye on a promoter. Make sure you don't leave.
So true.
Can you work with me, Chris?
Right. Either that or Rick Martinez. Where's Rick? Where's Rick at?
Damn!
Where's Rick at?
Pull out the old ones,
huh? You know what's funny, man, how you picked that guy out? Because every promoter that promotes stuff like that, those little small shows, where they're Latino, black, or white guy, they got that one black comedian that they only book.
Right.
You know, and lowball him all the time.
Yeah.
Like you were him and Sebastian is Shang, bro.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, Sebastian Satino always books Shang. I don't know how he gets him, but he's lowballing him, bro.
Yeah.
No, he's fucking with Faison
right?
for a while.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh yeah. Everybody, the Latin promoters, they always had their go to Negro.
And yeah, you know, there's another
he's
promoter.
Close out the show.
Another promoter, his go to was Jay Lamont all the time.
Jay Lamont, that's right.
He would show up where it closed it out and like
yeah.
What?
Oh, yeah. You don't want to go in after Jay Lamont. Oh,
you don't, man.
No, man. No, because it's like going on after a concert. You know what I'm saying? Like,
beatbox
you know what I'm saying?
Death.
Yeah, yeah. We like open for him, you know, till the band comes on. You know what I'm saying? But oh. Yeah, no. You never had to worry about like a Rudy Moreno. You never had to watch him. You know what I'm saying? He would never cut out of
him. Hell no. That, chuck, that money is tucked with band-aids, bro. it ain't going nowhere.
But Rick, sometimes you have to keep your eye on him.
A little
him.
Slippery.
Dude, I remember Rick Gutierrez, man. That fool started.
I just heard
Rick,
with
man.
Him.
Hey, man.
Don't be confused
guy, man.
With that guy, man.
Rick Martinez, though, he's responsible for starting free Latino shows in San Jose. Like,
yeah, at the Improv, right?
He got burned out in LA and then he took it to San Jose. He was like the first one.
Yeah.
Then over there, he started other Rick Martinez's, like Sean Dizzle.
Oh. Isn't he in Arizona now,
yeah,
dog?
Yeah, Sean Dizzle, bro.
Oh,
that
my
fool
God, dude.
Will hook it up, bro.
His disciple.
Pay me cash. And then all of a sudden, I'm at the club and That was extra bonus that they didn't get. Like, these guys would turn the comedy show into like
a meet and greet
at another club.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. He's a hustler, though. I give him that. He's a hustler. And I remember some of those shows at that particular improv in San Jose. He would pack them joints out all the way up to the top. You know, he had a hot.
Yeah,
move. Edwin was doing some of those too.
Yeah,
Edwin was doing Asian nights. I did a few Asian nights.
Slanted.
Yeah. I was the go-to Negro for the Asian shows too, man.
Yeah, you did all the rooms back then.
I'm an international baby.
I don't know, man. Like you were doing everything working on your material.
Yeah, dude. I'm doing. Sunset
Room.
When I first started, you know, I mean, you know,
when you start stand-up comedy.
You know what? It was about 99 or 2000, and I had just got fired from this TV show I was hosting, this syndicated show called Your Big Break. And I was like, man, you know, Kid and Play was kind of in a valley at the time. And I was like, what am I doing? Like, what do I want to do? And it was guys like Tommy Davidson and Bill Maher that suggested that I start doing stand-up. And they kind of pushed me into it. And Oprah Winfrey was doing a TV show at the time called Funny People and Who They Think Are Funny. So D.L. Hughley brought on some more. John Stewart brought on Louis Black. And Bill brought me on, and that was one of the first times I did stand up was on the Oprah Winfrey show, and he's like, "Yo, he's one of the funniest guys I know." He said, "I feel the same way about Kid as I feel about Chris Rock," and I'm like, "What? What are you talking about?" Like, you know, he was saying stuff he never said to me personally, but you know, it was a way for me like to get back on stage. And once I started doing it, I was like, "Yo, this thing feels really familiar." You know, like being a rapper really helped prepare me for being a comedian. So at the outset, I was just trying to do as much time as possible. So I'm making deals with Hartman at all the improvs, you know what I mean, for some sick price. Like gave him a number he couldn't turn down. And I was doing all the Latin stuff, man. I'm doing stuff with at Tortillas with Willie.
Yeah.
You know, I'm doing Tortillas with Willie Barcena.
And I had
some Latin material too, so that, you know, that kind of helped. And you know, Latin audiences they dig when you can dabble into their world. So I'm doing that. I'm doing Sebastian shows. I'm doing
Rudy Moreno.
Rudy Moreno was great to me just starting out. You know, all that, not just the Ice House, but the Commerce Casino and all them other spots. Sebastian was great. You know, Rick was great. Rick gave me a lot of stage time. And in addition to all the, you know, the other black and white joints I was doing. So
don't forget about Tommy T, brother.
Tommy T. Yeah. Those, you know,
the Bay.
Yeah. You know, the Ha Ha was cool. You know what I mean? Never really been much of a comedy store dude. I'm more of a Laugh Factory improv kind of dude. But you know how it is. Sometimes you feel comfortable in certain spots, and other ones you're just like, it just doesn't do it for me. You know, I like going to see other people at the Comedy Store. And now I hear it's back hot again because it was kind of dry for a minute.
Yeah, him and I were there last night.
Yeah. Yeah, I heard it's cracking there.
Yeah,
Sam, all the big names are coming back and all.
Sam
that.
Tripoli had a night there. Who else had a night there?
Skylar Stone.
Skylar's
they
my
pack
dude.
It out, man.
Yeah, I heard.
And it's like we go to the shows and you look at the lineup. And I'm like, wow, man, this is like the lineup that was performing at the Laugh Factory at midnight.
Yeah, yeah.
And now we're in prime time on Tuesday.
Yeah.
Last night with Chris D'Elia, Joe Rogan.
Wow.
I can't believe I'm in the stage, bro.
Yeah, man. It was a
badass. It's packed last night.
Yeah, I heard they like switched up management or something like that. They doing something because for a while the big names wasn't coming there.
No,
they,
man.
They got rid of Tommy.
They got rid of Tommy.
Who's Tommy?
Tommy was like the booker that used to book the show forever.
Uh-huh.
He's the guy that used to imitate Mitzi Shore and ban you.
Oh, yeah.
He had Mitzi a lot here, of relationships.
But he was always good with me. Like, if I would show up, he'll put me up. But maybe because I didn't hang around that long to get on his nerves.
You weren't part of the politics.
I wasn't part of the politics. I just show up, do my show, get free weed from somebody, and leave.
Right. It was, just stop and go. You know, just pick up and bounce. Yeah, but no, I need to come back down through there, man. If it's cracking like that,
it is, man. Was it hard for you to make the transition from being this big time rapper and movie star to go to stand up comedy? Because stand up comedy, man, it's not like you're gonna go from going from being rich and famous to going back to rich and famous. It's like you gotta start all over and gotta humble yourself.
Well, you know, bomb.
What?
Yeah, well, you know, I really found out that my. My rap career had really prepared me. I mean, look, that's how I came up in the rap game. You know, we didn't start in the stadiums and arenas. You know, we started in the clubs where cats was right in front of us. So, like I said, it brought me kind of back to that. And I found out that I really, really enjoyed it. And it was similar, but there's different muscles. You know, it's not me in a group anymore. It's just me by myself. And so it was fun trying to find what your identity was, your comedic identity.
I remember you and I talking, and you were telling me about this show you did, like, in New York. And it was like, I don't know what time it was in your career, but you said that everybody there was there to see those guys from OPP.
Uh-huh. Oh, Naughty by Nature?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, we're in the same show.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, we still, look, Play and I have been on this I Love the 90s tour for almost like the last 2 years. So that's groups like Salt and Pepper, Naughty by Nature, Vanilla Ice, Rob Bass, Tone Low, Coolio.
Damn.
Matter of fact, in January, they have this huge cruise ship tour that we're doing. It's called Ship Hop. And I'm not even bullshitting. Look it up. Ship Hop.
Everybody all aboard.
Yeah, yeah. It goes out from January 11th to the 15th out of Miami. So also all the groups that have been on the I Love the 90s tour will be on, hanging out and performing for the 4 days.
Go to the Bahamas or something?
Yeah, I think there's a couple of stops. I forgot. I think I forgot what the two stops are, but I never get off the boat anyway. So
does that work? Do you hide from the people on the cruise the rest of the week? Like, how? Because they're gonna be wanting attention from you if they see
you. No, that's
conversation.
Yeah, I mean, what they try to do on cruises like that, and I've been on other cruises where we perform. Obviously, you have the performances, but usually what they'll do is they'll schedule like meet and greets during the day. And, you know, there'll be a whole line of the entertainers and people coming up, getting pictures, signing autographs and what have you. You know what? They try to train the passengers, like, you know, you got to take pictures. You know what I mean? You got to take pictures. You know, I mean, look, the fans are paying top dollar. You know, these cruises ain't cheap. So, you know, just I think the celebrities that stress out about that are, you know, I'm not really down with that. I mean, I appreciate the fans and the fans that have still been sticking with us for the last 25, 30 years. You know what I mean? The least you can do is take a picture. So I'm kind of cool with that. Other celebrities, you know, not so much. So, yeah, they'll be kind of hiding out. But that's one of the reasons why sometimes when the boat docks, a lot of the celebrities don't go get off the ship, because then everyone else goes off and do their thing. We all go up to the top deck and it's just kind of us. So we got like about 3-4 hours to ourselves. So, cool. You know, you pick your spots. It's fun. Ship hop. Come on, Felipe.
Ship hop.
Take your lady.
Rock the boat, bro.
Take your lady and beat that up on the boat.
Ship hop, bro.
Ship hop. He's going to be saying that all day.
That's what we were thinking by Kiss Army and George Lopez.
Yeah, I'm telling you. It's the same kind of concept. And so and you know, these promoters are just like, well, why not? Why not? I mean, the tour, like I said, has been going on the last 2 years. We've been doing like really sick numbers, you know what I'm saying? You know, 8,000 here, 14,000 there. We're going all Montana, South Dakota, all over the place. So, you know, and it's nice seeing the old hip hop heads and fans come out. You know, unfortunately, sometimes, particularly the ladies, try to wear the old outfits from back in the days, but they don't quite fit anymore.
A lot of overlap.
Yeah, those jeans with the cuts in them is not looking right. There's extra meat coming out, looking like a honey baked ham. A
couple of dudes shorter with biker shorts.
Yeah, biker shorts, spandex, you know what I'm saying?
Cat suits.
Dressing up like Salt and Pepper, and oh yeah, with the Dookie road chains and Vanilla Ice pants.
Looking like Salt and Sea.
Yeah, yeah, guys coming in with wigs like my old high top fade. They're doing the most. But it's fun. It's fun. We're looking forward to it.
That would feel good, you know, like to people to show up dressed like you.
Yeah, it's you know, it's been real cool. These fans in particular. And look, and a lot of these fans, you know, come to the stand-up shows as well. You know, they'll come to my stand-up shows with, you know, with old vinyl. Yeah, with more all the time. Yeah,
one time we were doing a show, this Latino guy showed up with a house party movie. And it was bootleg.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, I've had him come with all three house parties bootleg. All three house parties bootleg. I'm like, really? Come on, man.
Really, man? House party and Friday, we're in the same video?
Right. You know, yeah, exactly. I say, and you don't spell house party. It's not two E's at the end, okay? It's a Y, okay? So that should have let you know it was bootleg.
One of the funny bits I heard you say was when you said you were in a motel room somewhere and your movie House Party was playing in Spanish.
That's right. Yeah.
What was that like?
It was weird. Yeah, it was weird because I was getting high at the time and I was like, damn, I didn't know I knew that much Spanish. I couldn't believe it. But yeah, no, I've seen my movies in Spanish. I mean, look, I grew
How many
up,
movies you been in?
Geez, we did three house parties. We did a cameo in a fifth house party that they did. We did the movie Class Act.
Class Act.
Yeah. Then did a bunch of TV movies as well. And what they're talking about doing now is over at that network TV One, they're trying to do like a Kid and Play biopic, like, you know, like have people play us as we were growing up, kind of like the New Edition one that they did. So, you know, we're trying to work that out and figure out what's going on.
Who will play you?
I don't know. It's a good question. They'll find some white kid.
Theo Vaughn.
Theo Vaughn.
Yeah, he could do it. He's got
Who will play him, Rodrigo?
I don't know. That fool. No?
Yeah.
Matt Lauer, he needs a job.
What do you say? Now, shit, 28 million a year, he ain't starving.
Nah, hey, man, you saw a lot of harassment.
But he can't come out the house.
I'm still waiting for some harassment to come out of BET.
He got it. I know. It was a little surprising, right?
They don't harass you. They get low.
Right.
They pay you low.
They pay you. That's their kind of their tradition. You know what I'm saying? But
have you done BET's Comic View?
Nah, you know
Def
what?
Def Jam?
No. I mean, to be honest, I mean, Def Jam, the heyday of Def Jam was before I became a stand-up. Yeah. And Comic View as well, you know what I mean? Yeah. Not too many of those. But I remember when you were doing Last Comic Standing. Anytime you saw somebody that you knew,
yeah,
and that you knew was funny, it was like, you know, man, we just rooting for this dude like every week. Like, come on, man, come on. Like,
Put it together.
Yeah, get him.
Thank you, man.
We was all happy about that. And then I used to run into you at the Dodger games.
Hell yeah, bro. Dodger blue.
Yeah, you must have been geeked this year. Were you geeked?
I was.
And then it hurt at the end. Huh?
Yeah, man. Game 5, I'll never forget, man. That was the longest game.
Yeah, man.
They were tied. The Dodgers came back.
Did you go to any of the games? Any of the World Series?
Yes, I went to game 5, game 6.
Game 1, 5, and 6
with my wife. And game 5, I went with Paul, George Lopez. I was doing a military gig with Finesse Mitchell, and then he didn't fly me out. Fly yourself out. And then we sat behind the Dodger dugout.
Oh, fresh.
So I was like this close to Kershaw. Good job, Kershaw.
Right. But you were there the last night? You was there the night that?
No.
Oh, no. Okay, game 6. That's it. Okay.
You think that guy proposing to his girlfriend right there at Dodger Stadium was like a sign of disrespect to the stadium?
Your mom thought it was. She was pissed.
My mom was pissed.
Why?
Because she's a Dodger fan.
Somebody proposed?
Yeah.
What is that, bad luck?
Verlander?
Verlander promoted.
To
Kate Upton.
Yeah, he did.
Oh, it wasn't that one. No.
Oh,
Correa.
Oh, yeah. The Latin guy. Yeah, oh, yeah. He was doing the most, right? I was like, yeah, he's going to get blown tonight. That's for sure.
Yeah, man. Proposed.
Blown every night.
Somebody's going to get their salad tossed tonight.
Yeah, my mom thought it was a disrespect that he proposed to her at Dodger Stadium. Like, he couldn't wait till he got home.
Oh, yeah. Well, he's looking for
Thunder in Houston.
Yeah, he's looking for the biggest stage. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
He's looking for the biggest
stage. He's sorry for something, man. Yeah.
I just came back from Houston. I was doing some comedy in Houston at this black club. And they're still.
What's the name of it?
It's called the Ultra Lounge.
Ultra Lounge.
But yeah, they're still geeked down there, man. Anybody that mentioned the Astros on stage, the crowd was like, ah!
Dude, on Josh Reddick, bro, bought a Lamborghini.
Are you serious? Damn.
Josh Reddick, Astros. He came to my show at the Improv. But a lot of hate coming from the fans, bro. You didn't even do shit. Because he was like 4.
Yeah, yeah, he had a terrible series. Yeah, he had a terrible series. I mean, can they say, like, you know what? I don't think you're going to get a ring. You know, can they stand? You know what I'm saying? Like, he didn't.
And like, sorry, but we'll give. Let me start. They did that. How you didn't do so well in the World Series? So we're gonna give you a ring, but there'll be no stones on it.
There's no stones on it, right?
It just says champs.
Yes, a promise ring.
He was there for moral support.
It's a promise
it
ring.
It was like when you. It was like, you know, not all the kids got the best high school ring. You know, I didn't get one.
No.
Did you get one, Lisa?
You mean a class ring?
A class ring,
I had to buy it. You have to buy it.
Yeah, but not everybody has to buy it.
Jostens.
Like, no. Jostens. You have to get what you can afford.
They want a monopoly on the fucking rings,
yeah.
Huh?
Oh, hell yeah, dude.
They have a partnership with schools.
But see, like, if you're like a rich kid, you're going to have the best class ring, right? If you're a poor kid, you're going to have a ribbon.
Right. You're going to get the Lamborghini of rings.
So you grew up in New York, man?
I did.
Did you always like hip-hop?
Yeah, but I'm old enough to remember when there wasn't hip-hop. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm an OG like that. you know, and I can remember I was
before I said a hey hop.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, you know, that old school underground?
Yeah, I mean, I started rhyming when I was a freshman in high school, and that was like 2-3 years before Rapper's Delight. You know what I mean? There wasn't any rap records out until like, you know, 80, 81, you know.
Just Blondie had came out with hers, right?
Exactly, exactly. And the hip hop heads was like, are you serious?
Yes.
Like white people, can we have this?
Yes.
Can we have this? But, you know, actually that record did a lot. It did a lot to help. And she did it as a, you know, an homage. You know, she was into the downtown scene, the hip hop scene. So she was actually promoting it, you know. Oh, by the way, before I forget, I wanted to let y'all know, I brought one of my kids here with me, my daughter Christina.
Hello.
She's visiting from New York for the week, so I thought I'd bring.
That's
her
your daughter?
Yeah, it's my daughter. She lives and works in New York. She works for Nickelodeon. She works to poison the minds of young children.
You teaching her kids how to act like this. You go to the store.
Right. And her mother's Dominican, so she's got that
straight. You can tell she has very nice straight hair. It took me 9 hours to do.
You know what I'm saying?
I remember I hosted a wedding show in New York. It was a Dominican family and a Puerto Rican family.
Blended,
bro.
That's and New York. That's New York.
Yeah, man. And then I remember like I had to roast them at the end of the show
because
I got to know their whole family, and then I got to know deep thoughts about them. It was crazy, man. Like. And
so he was pulling their card.
Puerto Ricans won, bro, and more cleavage at the wedding.
Yeah.
More cleavage inside the church.
Yeah, yeah.
It was like Chi-Chi's Christ.
No doubt. The Dominicans would probably have more booty, though.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
And better hair.
Tremendo culo.
Tremendo culo. What's up, Rodrigo? What you got
chilling
going on?
Right here. Stone.
Rodriguez, so what, I heard you say you was just in Midland?
Yeah, yeah,
Midland, Odessa.
Odessa, bro.
Yeah,
you done that club, right? Wild West.
No, I think I did, but like a really, really long time ago. I haven't been there. I haven't been there in a while. But I've done those, you know, those border spots, like you know, what's it, San Angelo, or you know, like all those streets that look like No Country for Old Men. You
Brownsville.
Know what I'm saying? Yeah, McAllen. McAllen.
McAllen was Super Mario, right?
I remember McAllen, Brownsville, all that stuff, man. Like I've done my time. But what? How was it? You said it was hot.
No, it was fucking.
It was cold,
60?
Man.
Word.
In 50.
Actually, well, we'd like to say that when was the last time you went to Midland, Odessa?
It's probably been like maybe, I don't know, at least 3-4 years, maybe.
Wow, man. Well, the place that we stood at was like one hotel room, and then there was more hotel rooms. Like it's changed. They got more hotel rooms.
Really?
Before it was just small, right? Our dirt town now, man. It's moving up.
They still got that. They got all that oil money.
They got more oil money. But yeah. You know what? Over there, you know, like here in California, you know, we're more liberal. We talk about how the gas companies, you know, they're polluting the air, the dirty oil. Over there, man, now they don't even mention oil. They don't even call it gas. What do they call it, Rodrigo?
Energy corporations.
Yeah.
Energy company.
Yeah. That sounds nice. That sounds nicer.
The Chevron Energy Company. We provide energy and power to all the United States of America.
Right.
Clean air, bro.
That's like, right.
There are no smog checks in Texas.
Yeah.
Here in LA, bro, you gotta fucking
bribe
your uncle, bro.
But the guy that sells meth, he calls himself Energy Corporation too. And providing energy.
Super energy.
Hell yeah. Texas team.
So what you been up to, man? I heard you got your own. Oh, I started following you because you have your own brand of marijuana.
That's right.
Kid and Blaze.
Kid and Blaze is the company. That's kind of the movement. You know, we'll get you some swag. Kid and Blaze is kind of like the movement, which kind of incorporates the weed, you know, music, merchandise. There's also a part of the company that we're dedicating just to the medicinal aspects of it, like just the CBDs, you know, so that we can work with hospitals that are treating people with seizures. We call that part Kid and Cure. But the first strain is called Kid and Cookies, which is a nice hybrid joint that will knock your dick in the dirt. Okay? That's our motto at the company.
You got them locked on the vault.
Kid and Cookies, it'll knock your dick in the dirt.
CBD.
CBD.
There was a vape pen in that box that was CBD. Yeah, and the guy tried to explain it to me, but I didn't know what they were talking about.
It has no THC. It won't get your mind high, but it'll get your body high so it can rest.
Yeah, it'll aches and, you know, great with aches and pains and stuff like that.
It's like,
know,
taking a Quaalude.
I don't think it's even like that.
No, it's like anti-inflammatory, that's CBD, right? Is the what they give kids, like if they have seizures and stuff like that. They're not giving kids stuff that gets him high. They're giving him the strain that has benefits that are
strictly
for his
strictly
body.
Strictly medicinal.
Yeah, there's no high side effect, I guess you could call it.
Yeah. Anybody want to trade the?
But it's the way it's extracted.
Does anybody want to trade the CBD vape pen for an actual joint? Hit me up.
You should try it. Try it. Try just the CBDs and see how you feel.
That's what's in your lotion that you had, though. That was CBD, was and it worked on your knee.
I messed up my knee.
That stuff is
good.
Dude,
I messed up. I messed up my knee.
It really
knee.
Worked,
and you didn't get high.
I didn't get high. No. But when I rubbed the dog, it did feel hot right away.
My knee got high.
Yeah, my knee got high. Bro. You would have saw my knee that day, had a Jordan face.
Get off the field.
Get off the field.
You're fired. Yo, it's funny you should mention that because, you know, I was skeptical like a couple years back with the, you know, with the lotions and whatever.
Yes.
And we were out on this kid and play tour I was telling you about. And I kind of twisted my knee on stage one night. And in addition to that, you know, my feet were kind of bothering me too. I used to have to ice the knee before the show, ice it afterwards. It was real, fucked up. So I was kind of at my wit's end. I was just like, man, you know what? Let me try this cream. You know, whatever I have to lose. So I rubbed it on my knees and on my feet. And man, listen, that thing was, I'm jumping around like the Nicholas Brothers and shit. You know what I'm saying? I'm pop locking and you know what I'm doing. It was, so I swear by it now. You know, you know, my knee hasn't hurt since. It just doesn't. The swelling went down, and you're just rubbing it on the top. You ain't doing nothing. You know, you ain't doing nothing more than that. So I believe it. It works. Believe it.
Is it a salve or a lotion?
It's a lotion.
There's one that's a lotion. There's one that's like a little more like a little greasier. But they all work, man.
Damn.
They work.
It worked, man. I just needed more.
Yeah, yeah. Get you some more of that stuff, boss. That stuff was good. The guy had
like a little like he had a frozen case, like a little refrigerator inside.
And it was in there?
Yeah.
What about edibles? You mess with edibles?
Hell yeah.
Yeah, see, I don't. They creep me out.
I gave one to Finneas Mitchell, almost killed him.
Oh my God. Really? Did he eat the whole thing?
Yeah, he did. They creep me out because now I need to read. Now when I take an edible, I read the label to
the dosage.
How long it takes before I can eat another one because I keep eating them. So now it takes 75 minutes. I wait. Man.
Yeah, but you got to look at the, because some of these things, dosage? they got different dosages, man. Big ass cookies and stuff. You know, one's saying 50 or 75 and another one's saying like 200. So, you know, you got to do it accordingly, man. You know, I've always had a bad experience with the edibles, so I don't even mess with that stuff anymore.
You ever had a real bad experience on the edible?
Yeah.
Where you say like, what the hell? Why did I take this?
I did. Years ago, Bill Maher called me up. He said he had gotten some cookies from a guy that we know. So he said, I'm gonna try them out. I'll let you know what's up. So I said, fine. He left a message on my answer machine like 2:00 in the morning. He was like, hey, it's Bill. This isn't good. I'm not feeling well. Like he was petrified, right? I'm like, dude. So I spoke to him the next day. I was like, yo, man, what happened? He said, yo, it was just a bad trip, man. And I just couldn't. I just had to wait for it to wear off. There was nothing I could do. He says, hey, man, you take these cookies. If you want them, you can have them. And like an asshole, I took the cookies. And I took them with me to New York. So I go to New York. I was doing some morning radio. And I'm in this hotel in the city. And I figured, you know what? I'm getting ready to go somewhere. Let me try one of these cookies. And they were delicious. Like, they were delicious. You couldn't even taste the weed or anything. But I started to feel funny. And so I got downstairs, and I'm trying to leave the hotel. I got somewhere to go. And I just can't leave the hotel. Like, I just won't. I'm scared to leave. Like, the doors keep opening and closing, then opening and closing, opening and closing. Finally, I just went upstairs, locked all the doors, and just got under the covers and just had waited for it to just subside. But it was just as bad as Bill's was. But that's my fault. Like, you know, if a dude told you had a bad trip on something, what you doing eating it? You know? What, I want to, you know what I'm saying? I was jocking, man.
Second opinion, dog.
You're yeah, probably, I guess so. Maybe, I mean, obviously I was thinking it wasn't going to work on me, but it worked just as much or more. So that taught me a lot about the edibles. So I steer clear of that.
You were like, oh, that
fool. I'm a smoker.
If you were like, that fool can't handle shit.
Yeah.
He's weak.
Exactly.
He's weak.
Yeah. Yeah. Let meanwhile, I can't leave the building. You know what I'm saying? And there's nothing stopping me but me. So I pay more close attention now.
I like to be like that in the airplane because then I just pass out.
Hell yeah.
Like, I know what you're feeling. The way you're feeling, Chris, you just want to get like a little ball under the blankets.
Man. Yeah, man. Your head is spinning. You're thinking about stuff. You know, all your regrets in life.
I'm with Chris. That's how I feel. I feel like if I do that on the plane, I'm going to be thinking about how we're going to go down.
Look at how we're going to rip off.
I have all the details in my head. Like, I can't eat that. Over here. I know, it's horrible.
Right? You're gonna make a move for the cockpit.
But then my body feels like I'm starting menopause. So I got hot flashes. Seriously.
Beat that shit up. You only got a few more days.
My feet started swelling.
Yeah. I feel like I'm getting lupus here.
Well, let me fly the plane.
Menopause. How the edible? I went through menopause.
I watched the Baywatch movie 5 times.
Oh, fuck.
Wow.
The Rock is amazing. What can he do?
I want a 5,000-page review on Boo 2.
What more do you want from me?
It's everybody differently, man.
Yo, did you hear they made a record out of that? You know these hip-hop dudes. They always go make a beat out of something. So they made a beat out of when Tyrese was getting all emotional and stuff.
Yeah?
Yeah, man. What's wrong with that, man? I'll send it to you. It's hysterical.
What's it called?
How do you spell that? Is that an R?
That's the worst, man. Like, if you're going to cry, cry, man. Damn. Cry. Start out crying, man. It's the beginning crying that kills you. It makes everybody laugh at you. When you start going.
He didn't want to let it out, though.
Man. Because you're trying to think, like, if you're going to, like, thugs need to cry, man. You want, because when a thug's holding back, it just sounds sad, like a little boy, like, oh, man, I'm just trying to stay hard. I'm just
trying to keep his composure.
You know, my mama who got shot. You're trying to kill me.
Life ain't fair, though.
Y'all don't even care about my finances. Are we supposed to pay for your child support?
Fuck that.
Nobody paid for mine.
Nobody
you stole your daughter, dog.
Wait.
We got you.
Wait,
a trip.
Wait. Her mother works for child support.
Oh,
damn! He's slipping out of here.
My name is Jose Rodriguez.
Her mother's job is to put people away.
I remember I told my dad that how much I owed, and I thought my dad was gonna like, oh, that's fucked up. You owe that much. You know, you're a piece of shit, father. Instead of saying that to me, like, you're a horrible father, my dad said, ah, that's nothing. My neighbor, he owes $200,000. His kids are 30. God, and damn. They still want the money, dog.
Yeah, man. You have to pay for those services.
What services?
What services?
Child support services, all that whole bureaucracy.
You want your Medi-Cal sticker back?
Right. With interest?
Yeah, we got to pay for the cadet programs where they're jumping on the girls and driving police cars and stuff.
But the penalty money goes to the mom, though. Yeah.
Yeah, man.
And in California, you accrue penalties even if the kid's over 18. If you are in arrears,
If you owe $7,900 by the end of the year, that one payment is gonna go to maybe $14,280.
Doubles.
And that's just one month.
By the end of the year, you know way too much about that.
You know way too much about that. You got the calculations.
Hell yeah. When I keep telling people, man, pay them.
Like a three-way
agree
system.
To pay something, man. Like, even if you can't afford what they're telling you, man, see, listen, I can afford only to pay $80 a month. They just want you to pay something.
Something's better than nothing.
How much you owe, Rodrigo?
Huh, I don't know shit.
Not yet. What's sad is those dudes that get caught up when a girl tells them I'm pregnant and later on it never was his kid.
Oh, yeah. Yo, that happened to me back
don't
in the days.
Don't you have to sign?
What happened?
That happened to me way back in the days. There was this girl that I used to date. I was in New York. This girl was out of D.C. So there's a chick I used to date out of D.C. And, you know, she busts up one day and was like, yo, I'm pregnant or whatever. And so I'm counting back, you know what I'm saying? And the numbers don't add up, you know what I mean? The months don't add up. It was like 11 months. I said, what, you carried this baby for 11 fucking months? Like, what you think this is? It's your baby, you know, all this and that.
Had a kid.
Yeah, exactly. So I was like, all right, bet. I said, let's take a paternity test, you know what I'm saying? That, and back in the days, what they used to do was, you hook it up through your lawyer. They send you to this, you know, like an outpatient clinic, and they draw your blood. And they take a back in the days, this long ago, they take a Polaroid picture of the guy drawing the blood so that you know it's your blood and whatever like that. Then they send it to some lab like in North Carolina, and then they do the analysis. So I did mine, and then I guess later in the week she was supposed to do hers. I had set up for her in D.C. and everything. She never went and never took the test. Come to find out, the baby was, she had a boyfriend, some dope dealer that died in a car crash. That's who the father was. And she was just trying to, you know, make a move. You know what I mean? But, you know, whatever. You know, you tried. you gave it a shot. But I'm like, yo, you carried this baby for 11 months? What? What is that? Is that medically possible? Lisa, help me out here.
No, about 10 months, 40 weeks.
10 months?
Other extra
what if
month.
He didn't want to come out?
Right, this world is too crazy.
Little kid didn't want to come out and play, though.
Hell no, man. That's crazy, man. Like a woman doing that.
Oh, that shit happens all the time, right?
I mean, I would imagine that's the only time it happened to me. You know what I'm saying? But I mean, look, in our industry, you know what I'm saying? I would imagine that. You know, and look, I already have two baby mamas. And you know, I got lucky with mine. I mean, they're great mothers. And you know, I swear to God, I never had any doubt, for example, that any, you know, any money that was being sent, I had never had any doubt that it was being used, you know, for my children. You know what I mean? Like, you know, I hear horror stories, you
car
know
notes and shit.
Yeah, they getting it could be that. And then when they bring your kids around, your kids are looking crazy. Your kids ain't shining. You know, anytime my kids' mothers brought the kids around, kids is looking right, you know what I mean? Got all diced up and hair done and clothes looking right and stuff like that. So, you know, you got to get lucky with baby mamas. You know, I got lucky with mine. One of mine is, I got a black one and I got a Dominican one. And I got, you know, and I'm done, okay? I got a condom on right now, all right? I had one surgically implanted.
You don't play.
I don't play, man. I know me, okay? So, yeah. But, yeah, it's wild. I mean, it's wild out there. I mean, you know,
Did the little baby have a little big hair too?
No, they didn't have that. Now, that would be a telltale
that
sign.
That fool came like, oh.
Little Z cat reaching on.
Hola, hola.
Damn, taking it back.
Yeah, man. You know what? That thing, you know, the hair thing is gonna literally follow me until the day I die. And not that I mind. I'm already envisioning.
It's coming back.
It's going back. Yeah, for sure. It's great, and that's cool because that kind of. You know, it keeps me, you know, relevant in that regard because, you know, I'm recognized as the guy with the hair. But I'm already envisioning that my tombstone will be shaped like my hair. You know, I'm envisioning that. And I'm also, another thing I'm thinking about too is, you ever see like on the Grammys, on the Oscars, when they go through the in memoriam, like the people that have died the previous year? I'm thinking, you know what, I should start, I want to pick my picture now so that they don't, you use a fucked up picture of me. You know what I'm saying? I'm gonna get like you know, when I was at my happiest, you don't want to know you're fucked up like a mugshot or some shit like that. You know what I'm saying?
To put a messed up one, huh?
Hell yeah, dude.
You know what I'm saying? You want to get a fly one, like
you don't want to get one getting a
paternity
test.
I'm dead.
The Polaroid of the paternity test.
Oh, that's a good
show. Blood samples.
Not my finest hour. Nah, that's what's good. That's what's up. So what's up?
So you never had, your daughter never wanted you to hear that high either?
Who, my daughter?
Yeah.
Oh, no. She's her own person. She's quite independent. She graduated from college last year. And she worked, like I said, she works for Nickelodeon. And she's having a blast. She's a good kid.
How did they approach you, like, when you got your movie deals? Was it a movie, a 3D movie deal, or just
Based
on the success?
No, what happened was, I mean, just as Kid and Play, we were already, you know, blowing up on the rap tip.
Did you have cartoons?
Yeah, we did.
Yeah, that's right, you did have cartoons.
Yeah, we had a cartoon.
You had cartoons, and then MC Hammer had a cartoon, too.
Yeah, Hammer is a good friend of ours. Hammer was on ABC, like, the year after ours. We were the first rappers with a cartoon.
Is that true that he was a good, like, he could roast? Like people and Will Smith with a good roaster.
Oh yeah. I mean, we've done dozens and dozens of shows with each other over the years, and everybody, you know, all the tours were great. I mean, I've toured with everybody from Hammer to Fresh Prince. I don't know if you
the Time.
I've done shows with the Time. I did a show with them in San Diego about 6 months ago. Believe it or not, if you guys seen the movie Straight Outta Compton, that concert tour that they were on in '89. We were on that tour. Kid and Play in NWA.
Dude.
Go figure.
You killed it at one of my best movies I ever saw. My nephew saw that movie like 10 times in a row. He's like a little 4-year-old kid, but he loves it. When you play the guy that that has the beat-up record studio in The Temptations.
Oh, yeah.
Love that movie, man.
Yeah. That's right. Yeah, the DJ.
Yeah, the broom.
The jockey. The disc jockey. Yeah. Yeah, you know what?
What was it like working with that movie, man?
It was great. You know, my manager at the time, Suzanne DePass, and she was actually one of the producers on the film. So she was managing me at the time, and she was producing that film that they were filming in Pittsburgh, matter of fact, because Detroit didn't really look like Detroit anymore, but for some reason, parts of Pittsburgh kind of looked like Detroit, so that's where they were filming. So she just called me up out the blue. She said, hey, I got a part for you. It's a one-day shoot, fly in, fly out. You know, you get X amount. I was like, yeah, let's go, man. Went in there. I was in and out, you know, but I feel fortunate to be in that movie for, you know, as little as it was. I mean, it's one of the great, you know, miniseries. It's like one of them things, like if you flipping channels, you're gonna watch that. You're gonna watch 20 minutes, a half an hour type deal. You know what
I mean? You know what scene it is. You know what's coming up next.
Yeah, you know. Oh, well, check this out. This is when David Ruffin's in the crack house.
Yes, like one time I was watching The Temptation, and they stopped at that scene where David Ruffin is arguing with Marvin Gaye and what's her name,
Tammy Terrell.
He goes, man, why don't you just treat him with respect? And he goes, listen, man, y'all don't know shit about me. Y'all just mama boys.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Yo, that's my boy Leon that was playing David Ruffin.
He's great. Bad. What's he doing?
Awesome,
he's so
bro.
Good.
I love to have him on a podcast.
Yeah. Oh man, he's a great actor, you know, intense. You know, we used to play a lot of basketball together. He can really play some basketball too. But yeah, he was that was a great role for him. Great role for him. And they still run that sucker. You know what I mean?
Oh yeah.
Man. I mean, that's kind of the cool thing about it, man. I mean, I feel fortunate that, you know, the movies that we've done and stuff like that, you know, the stuff still holds up. I mean, they're not playing it because people don't like it. They're playing it because, you know, people are reminded of that era. You know, they like all that. They like that 90s stuff. You know, and that's when it feels like life was simpler. And, you know, even some of the young people like my daughter's age are really into that 90s vibe. They like the colors. They like the dances. They like the fun aspect of it. It just doesn't seem as drama-rific as the landscape is today. So, you know, it's cool. I mean, I was in Atlanta hanging out with some folks, and we were hanging outside this barbecue, and this little girl, little black girl came up. She was about 6 years old. And she caught sight of me. She said, "Oh!" She ran all the way over to me, and she pointed at me. She said, "You got a whooping." And I said, "What you say?" She said, "You got a whooping." I said, "Who gave me a whooping?" "Yo, pops." I said, "How you know my pops gave me a whooping?" She said, "My auntie watched that movie all the time. She ain't got no job."
Robin Harris.
Yeah, exactly. That's that. So that's like, I was like, how does a 6-year-old know about this stuff? Because that means that, you know, aunties is passing it down to the kids. You know, big brothers passing down to little brothers. You know, families are watching it together. So
First one's a fucking classic, man.
Look, the first one's a classic. People love the movie class act. I mean, overall, those movies, you know, represented a lot in terms of new talent. You know, House Party 1, you got Martin. You know, you got Full Force. You got Robin Harris. You know, Bernie Mac was first a House Party 3. TLC was in House Party 3. Queen Latifah was in House Party 2.
Chris Tucker.
Yeah.
Chris Tucker's first movie was House Party 3. He came off
he
stage.
He was a pimp.
Yeah, he came off. He was managing a stripper. He came off stage at the Comedy Store one night. I was hanging in the back. The director called me. He said, "Yo, man, we shooting a scene tomorrow. We ain't got nobody to play." The character's name was Johnny Booze. He said, "We ain't got nobody to play Johnny Booze." So I said, yo, and I just seen Chris come off stage, and Chris had just got to town, and, you know, he was lighting it up. So I stepped to him. I knew Chris. I was like, yo, man. Yo, you know, I said, come on down tomorrow, man. I just sent him down there. And he went down there and shot that one scene, and boom.
You know, you're the money man.
Yeah.
Same time, man. Same time, man. Look here. I don't know you, man. Look here, man. Tell kid and play. I got Angina Williams for the part.
That's good.
You know what I'm saying?
That's good.
And he just did a great job, and of course, you know, that makes me feel responsible for his entire career. Yeah. Oh, that's Michael Collier.
That was the grossest scene ever.
Incredible Michael Collier.
Remember that, Lisa?
Yeah.
His name was Showboat.
Showboat.
Yeah. Yeah, that's so it's been fortunate that we just had all these great. You know what I mean? Kid and Play get a lot of credit for it, but there's a whole lot of great people in these films.
We just ran into Felicia. Bye, Felicia.
Yeah, who was
your fiance?
She was my fiance. Yeah. She was my fiance.
She owns
a vegan.
I had
restaurant.
Her first.
She owns a vegan. Yeah.
No, I mean, she was my girlfriend, my movie girlfriend first.
Paternity.
Just like on the Martin Show, Tisha Campbell. Yeah. She was my girl first. Yeah. So yeah.
Yo, Angela.
Get my sloppy seconds.
Angela Means, we saw her at we went to her vegan little spot.
Jackfruit Cafe on Crenshaw.
Yeah.
Jackfruit Cafe on Crenshaw.
Yeah.
My daughter's dying to go to Crenshaw.
Vegan soul food.
Yeah.
Vegan soul food, really?
Yeah, it's very delicious macaroni
She's
and cheese.
She's working her ass off.
She works her really? Ass yeah. off. Is she going to say hello?
Yeah, I'm going to give her a shout. I think we went back and forth like on Twitter, a little DM action. Yeah. But yeah, she was great. She was great to work with.
How funny was it working with, how much did you laugh on the set working with all those great comedians like Robin Harris?
It was awesome. You know what I'm saying? And Robin was like, you know, Robin was older than us. You know,
yeah.
That first
he
movie.
He was 40, huh?
No, he was only 36. He 36? Died at 36.
Oh.
But he was old enough. We were all in our early 20s, you know what I'm saying? So we all deferred to him, and he was just a great dude. He took care of us. He looked out for us. You know, we all played basketball together. It'd be him, it'd be me, it'd be Martin, Tommy Davidson, Tommy Ford. And, you know, he kind of took care of us. I remember one time we got into some beef with some dudes at the gym. And guys talking shit and whatnot. And Robin was like, all right, okay, hold on. All right, wait right there. Goes out to the car, comes back with the pistol. Like, he's got his gym shorts on, everything. And he got the pistol by his side talking about now what? And they're like, hey, whoa. So, I mean, this guy is brilliant, the greatest comedian as he was. Like, he still was like, yo, uh-uh. He still had that, he had that street in him, you know? But I'll tell you a funny story that he told me. You know, we had a lot of scenes together, so we had a lot of downtime. So, you know, we would go back and forth. And he told me this story. I don't know if it's 100% true or not, but this is the story he told me. He said back in the days he was dating this girl, and she wanted him to meet her parents. So they were going to have him over for dinner. So, you know, Robin's, you know, he's a little nervous or whatever like that, so... They go over there, and they have dinner. It's him, the girl, the mother, and the father. So they have dinner. Dinner goes well, and then there's dessert. So they have some dessert. The mother made a pie. So the pie comes out, and they're eating the pie, and then they get down to one piece of pie left. So the father's like, hey, Robin, man, go on, get that last piece of pie, man. Go and eat that last piece of pie. And he's like, no, sir, you know, I'm fine, man. You know, dinner was great. You know, I don't need any more pie. Thank you, though. Man, go ahead on, man. Get that piece of pie, man. It's delicious pie, man. Mama made this pie, man. Get this. Nah, I'm cool. Man, will you go on and eat this pie? Don't insult us. Just go on and eat that pie and enjoy that pie. And he's like, okay, all right, sir. You know what? I will. I'll eat this pie. So he ate the pie. And so after dinner, the mother and father's in the kitchen washing dishes. Robin has to go to the bathroom. But to go to the bathroom, you got to pass by the kitchen. So as he's passing by the kitchen, he hears the father say to the mother, can you believe that nigga ate the last piece of fucking pie? Motherfucker, you begged me, man.
You insisted, you tested.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? But that's kind of stuff. You know what I mean? Bernie Mac was great on
Take
on,
the pen.
Yeah, Bernie Mac was great on set. You know, Martin was great back then. You know, Full Force was always pulling pranks on people and sticking notes to the back of your jacket and giving fans your
and the little kids were the little kid rappers,
the little kid immature,
immature,
or
yeah.
IMX, or
IMX,
yeah. No, that was good times. And like I said, TLC was in House Party 3 with us as well. So good times. Yeah, I mean, we've just been doing shows with TLC as well. TLC's back on the road with just the two chicks.
Whatever, didn't they get the new girl? Filipino?
No. They just two of them now.
Journey, huh?
Yeah, they got rid of him.
The Asian guy from. No,
I thought that TLC hired a new girl that was
Asian.
Yeah,
I think they tried that like several years ago, yeah. But they didn't really fly. So they just do it. It's just two of them now. I mean, they have like a bunch of, you know, dancers and a band with them and whatnot. But yeah, they were doing some of these I Love the 90s dates as well. So we were down here at the Greek a few months ago. So yeah, good times.
You're friends with a comedian from Houston, Texas, right? Miguel?
Miguel. You know, I know a lot of dudes.
He used to be an ex-cop.
Sounds familiar. I mean, I got some other guys down there in Houston that I mess with. You know, Juan Villarreal, Billy D. Washington.
Billy D. Washington, that's the guy.
Yeah, Billy
D. Him and I, we work together.
Yeah, that's my boy. Now, that's my boy.
He
plays the keyboard.
Yes, yeah. him and I did a show together in Aspen.
Uh-huh.
With what's his name?
Shout to Billy D.
With, what's his name?
Kevin Shea.
And Kevin Shea, another person, I forgot her name, but the guy who booked the show was it David Brenner?
David Brenner.
Oh, really?
The late David Brenner. And we have another mutual friend in El Paso. He said that we went to his house, Gabriel Iglesias and I, and Rodrigo Torres, and he made us steaks.
Steve George.
And he said that the barbecue sauce that he made was your recipes and Billy D's.
Probably more Billy D's than anything else. Yeah. I got El Paso. That's when we used to play that comic strip.
Yeah, that old, it'd be some white boy. That
yeah, Bart Reed.
Yeah. But the guy was an ex-comic, and he told always make dinner for us. And he was telling us that that was a sauce was your sauce.
Really?
Yeah. And
probably more Billy's than anything
and
else.
And I talked to Billy D one time, and he said that one time you got to play a prank on this British comedian. You got to put barbecue sauce on his boots.
No, we put salsa. Because this is a club in Columbia, Missouri, and they didn't really have a green room. The green room was like where they kept all the ketchups and the, you know, the condiments and all this and that, right?
Deja vu,
exactly. Like deja vu.
Columbia, Missouri.
We went there.
Exactly. Yeah, man.
Yeah. With the upstairs and downstairs,
never get
right?
That night.
Yeah, the club is downstairs and the comedy club is upstairs. Dog. The club, right? Yeah. So you know what I'm talking about. You know, it's like a closet.
Yeah,
it's
man.
A closet. So Steve Hurst is the English comedian, right? And what he would do at that time, back then, he was doing a whole Austin Powers thing. So he would literally go in the thing and then put his Austin Powers outfit on and come back out. But when he did that, he put new shoes on. So he had these other shoes, and we had these big vats of salsa, you know, there. So one time we just put a gang of salsa in this guy's in his shoes and stuff. So he comes back and, you know, he's not thinking about nothing. He just goes, you know, he puts his shoes on and he says, egad, they put salsa in me boot.
He added another line to his, another
oh my
tag
God.
To his dick,
yeah,
dog.
Exactly. But yeah, now Billy D's good people. I got another homeboy in El Paso, George Jimenez, who's a real funny dude. But yeah, man, you know how it is. Just, you meet some really interesting
John
people.
John Roman.
John Roman, know that?
That's when they were doing the fucking Odessa.
Wild
man.
West
Odessa.
Comedy Club?
Wild West Comedy Club in that
Odessa. What, remember Corpus? Somebody hit me up about Corpus. Like they got some new club down there.
Jokers?
Huh?
Jokers?
Mesquite.
Oh, no, that's a new one. Then.
Yeah, the Mesquite.
Yeah, somebody hit me up.
That's a real one.
Because I remember we used to do Crazy Times back in the day.
Crazy Times.
Yeah, remember Crazy Times in the back of the mall?
Dude.
And they kept sending up all the shots?
It was in the ghetto side of the mall.
Yeah,
right?
It was
abandoned.
All the way around the back.
Like, you go outside that mall, you look outside, it looks like the set of Walking Dead, dude.
Yeah. But that was the club. They would warn you beforehand. They're like, yo, they're going to send you
shots.
They're going to send you shots the whole night.
And
if you don't do them, they're really going to get mad. So we would do it like the first two shots is real. And then after that, I'm like, yo, just make it water. You know what I'm saying? Or it's going to kill me. So, yeah, we would go down there to Corpus and perform and then go down to the Selena statue and take pictures by her butt. Yeah. You seen that statue, right?
Yeah, man.
That thing is plump.
I was arrested there for...
May her butt rips.
I was arrested there for harassing a statue. They got me for statutory rape.
Hey!
Hey,
please. Try the veal.
Try the pickle juice flavor snow cone.
Best in the city.
The best. We got corn with mayonnaise here.
Hey. Yeah, but yeah, somebody. I wasn't aware like what the new club was. I'm sure it ain't Happy Times. No
it's
more.
Mesquite Pizza, and it's a guy named Aaron, and it's booked by this fat ass fool named Juan Luna.
Javi Luna is one.
Yeah, pretty close.
This is big, man. Like when he's driving us, his stomach kept pressing the horn.
The other one that John Roman used to have was Gators for
Gators.
A while. for like 3 years or so.
What, down there?
Yeah, but I don't know if John's doing his own
room. Called
like
Jokers
now.
Or some shit now, right?
Jokers. Yeah.
But you don't do that place anymore.
But
you
now the Mesquite Pizza Place, by
Mesquite
the way.
Street Comedy Club.
There you go.
Yeah, we used to do the comic strip all the time, and then me and the owner got into it one time. We had to be separated.
He didn't want to give. He wanted to continue the birthday shows, huh?
Nah. You know what? You know what happened was, I had to leave. I couldn't do a Sunday show. Because I was starting a TV show over at VH1, so you know club owners kind of know the rules. If you got to jet back to LA for a job,
TV takes precedence.
Yeah, for some TV, you know, that'll bring more light the next time you come. That's just kind of how it is. So I had told him about it. It's not like I sprung it on at the last minute, but he was never really that, you know, happy about it or whatever. So he had been chirping at me all weekend long about this, that, and third. And finally, we got into it again, and he's trying to say something about the house, you know, like, yo, you know what I'm saying, you know, talking about the numbers. I said, well, hold up, boss. I said, when I used to come to town, we used to do two TV stations, we used to do radio, we do a buzz, you know,
buzz.
And all of that stuff. I said, we don't hardly do none of that no more. I said, how are motherfuckers supposed to know I'm here if we don't tell them? I make myself available for that. You just ain't got the juice. So you trying to blame me because you ain't got the juice, and you trying to build a high class restaurant. I don't know why he come in for that shit. And he's a big right winger too, so I ain't like none of that shit anyway. You know what I'm saying? He's one of those make America hate again.
He's
you know
been
what I'm
on
saying?
My last nerve for a couple of years now. We don't.
So then he was like, you know what I'm saying? He said something, and then he like stood up. We were in his office. He stood up on me. I was like, what? So I stood up. I said, now what? And then his son and I even think Billy D was there too. They bust in the room and separated. I said, man,
let's go make some barbecue sauce now.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah, fuck this. Yeah, so I left. I didn't play the Sunday show, and then me and him probably didn't speak for like about 6-7 years. You know what I'm saying? But I was still coming to El Paso doing other stuff. You know what I'm saying? Like I don't need you to come to El Paso. I got friends here. So then finally we squashed it, man. You know, he kind of semi reached out. And then I was like, you know what? That stuff is in the past, man. So one time we was in El Paso, we went by the club, and on a Tuesday night, like an open mic night, and this dude is in there on a Tuesday night, rocking the board. I'm like, dude, you don't like your wife at all, dude. Like, what you doing here on a motherfucking Tuesday night?
Tuesday.
No, hardly
saving
nobody
money.
Was there. You know what I'm saying? Lord knows what he's doing. But, yeah, that's old beef, man. You know how it is. But that's the thing. I mean, some of these club owners, we're talking about promoters, some of these club owners the same way, man. They'll try to short you if you let them, you know?
All the time. But, yeah, man, like, when I would go to El Paso, it would be Buzz all the time.
Yeah, Buzz was great.
And then after that, you sneak over there and do that fat guy, Mike, for Kiss FM.
Right.
But then Mike, the last time I would go there, Mike pulled me to the side from Kiss FM. He goes, man, y'all don't really get along with that club owner no more. So, you know, I have none of the comedians here. But since it's you,
yeah.
After you're done with Buzz, come on in.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So I wasn't there with the owner. I was there with that Nico guy.
And he's on the show
so
now.
they let me do the Kiss FM, but It wasn't paid, you know, I guess you don't want to pay.
Yeah, 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 but that's the thing.
You got to pay for TV, though.
Club owners, they'll sometimes take advantage. They'll take advantage of your fame.
Yes.
Of your fame, of my fame, and not pay.
Ventura
I'm
Harbor.
Like, dude, you gotta, yeah, oh, my God. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know what I'm saying? I do shows up there with Zapata all the time. I'm just like, yo, y'all got to get some people up in here, man. Like, what is going on? So, yeah, so they take advantage of that. And they know if you got a kid, you can probably get on pretty much any TV show or Good Morning El Paso or, you know, that type of stuff. That, they would put me on the hip-hop station, too, as well. So you do Buzz and then run around and take you to the hip-hop station, you know, put that out there. But, you start slacking. You start slacking, man. I can't do all the heavy lifting.
I know, man. Like, some of the old promoters, they want to bring you back at the same rate, and you don't know how to tell them, listen, man, I'm grown as a performer. It's not my fault that you have not grown as a promoter.
Yeah.
You're still doing $200 rooms.
Nah, B. The price used to be here. Now the price is here, bro. I mean,
yeah, like, come on, man. They try to compliment you, but they're insulting you. But I remember when I had to get you here for $100. What? So? I had to get Joe Lopez for $200.
Now they're like, where is the loyalty?
Where's the loyalty?
Oh, yeah.
They'll hit you right away.
They'll hit you with that, for sure. But, you know, it's their job to kind of
We're too little for you.
But now, now they just rely on their Twitter followers. Oh, you've got thousands. You know, I got 100,000 followers on Instagram.
Yeah, they're all bots.
What's going on?
we were watching this TV show last night. My daughter likes to watch this TV show on Viceland called Desus and Mero. Oh, yeah. They're obsessed with these robots that'll, you know, like these sex robots, and they're blowing and everything. they got hair and all of that stuff, right? What was it called again? The sloppy toppy robot or something like that. I don't know. Yeah. I'm just like, is that, why would you want to do that? Over like a real person? Like over.
I do the old fashioned.
Is it because the robot can't talk? Well, no, the robots was moaning, right?
But did they look like a real woman?
Yeah, like you touch it, and the guy was touching on the breast, touching it down.
Oh, she looked like an actual woman?
No, it was a robot. But when you touched it, it would go. If you touched the titty, she would go.
Ooh.
You touch her over a pain. Like that.
Going to get electrocuted and shit.
Yeah. Mine's broken, man. Mine said, "That it."
Yours says, "I'm doing dishes. Stop."
No, your robot would say, "Beat that shit up."
Rodrigo, what'd yours say, bro? Your man.
Bring someone extra.
Who's next?
Sloppy toppy.
So, what you got coming up? You want to promote? We got like 75,000 listeners now every week.
That's right. Congratulations. Give me a round of applause for that.
Yes.
And you know what? I appreciate you guys.
We've been dying to have you, bro.
Yeah, man.
I have so many questions. I forgot them all.
That's all right. We're gonna get you some Kid and Blaze merch and
get it back to Rick Martinez, bro.
First of all, you're going to have this dude. This dude's going to call me up today. Man, hey, man, I heard you guys are talking about me.
Joey Coco Diaz told me one time that he was working with him, you know. Because we all go
through
that.
Yeah, we all did.
Plus, you know, not to say anything bad about these guys. They paid.
Yeah,
you know?
They did.
They made triple what we made, but they made money, too. We made them a lot of money.
Yeah, and smart guys like Rick, we're doing after parties. They do after parties. You do Ontario Improv with Rick, you know, or even my man Robert Zapata. You know, they got 250, 300 people there on a Wednesday. Then they got the after set down the block. You know what I'm
saying? That's right. He used to always book you at that theater with the TV show, with the movie theater show in Hollywood. What's that room called?
Oh, yeah. Remember that? Yeah. They was trying to do that. Yeah. You know, hustling. You know what I'm saying? And you know what? Sometimes that stuff, you know, that we, you know, sometimes it's good. I mean, it was good. They were good. They were always good audiences to get up in front of.
Joe Diaz did a show one time with Rick Gutierrez in Modesto somewhere. I don't know where it was. And he looked to the side, and Rick Martinez was selling Joe Diaz DVD. Oh. Or his comedy album.
Yeah.
He had recorded it at another show and was selling it in front of him.
That's
Take that's, this home with you.
That's Rick. That's Rick, bro. That's Rick.
I remember when he was doing the bowling alley shows, he had a camera recording.
Yeah.
And I walked up to him and said, bro, please don't record my show, man. I don't want my shit out there, man. It's not even funny yet. It's not even prepared. I'm working this out. And he didn't record me. But I remember he recorded other people.
Yo, I remember that bowling alley.
And it became part of a bowling alley comedy series.
DVD series. Yeah.
That's fucked up.
He probably got me up on one of
track lanes.
Did he get me, though? He didn't get me, huh?
I don't think so.
He tried to get me.
I hadn't heard about that.
Yeah, you'd have to. Yeah, he. If you didn't tell him not to.
Yeah, you had to tell him not to.
He would do it.
He had a camera.
That's an asshole move.
He had of course, he had a camera all the time. He was the head of. He was the head of the game, though.
He's gonna start his own network.
He was,
and he was. He was great at having. First of all, he had like 20 comics on the show. Right.
He was great at having people on the call show. People.
Yes, that's what I'm saying.
Kenny.
That's what I'm saying. You like he that was a requirement. He was a requirement. You got to bring people or this, that, and the third and whatnot. So that's why they'd be like 15 comics on the joint. You know what I mean? And then they get to, you know, the guys like us later on or whatever.
I work with, you know, remember Juan Garcia?
Yeah, Juan, I just did a show with him like 3 weeks ago. With Rick. I hadn't seen Juan in forever, man. I hadn't seen Juan in forever. Still the same size.
So, and then Kenny, they were working with Rick. This one, Rick was hustling, man. This guy really works on the phone. He was on the phone calling chicks. Yeah. Hey, Susie, this is what's his name? So he comes to the show, right? So you're going to bring those, how many people? 10? Okay, can you give me their names? All day. What are their names? 15 people? Okay, yeah. You're just going to be there. What's your name? And he's writing down all these names, man. He must have written down like 700 names.
Yeah. And another thing he would do, too, was, you know, Rick back then, I think he's more like settled down now, but Rick was out there, out and about with the ladies. So he'd have all these ladies coming to the show. And you know he was kind of like flirting with all of them, like kind of romancing them. You know some of the you know,
just to bring them in, huh?
Yeah. You know what I'm saying? The gorditas would be in the house. You know what I'm saying? And he would be charming and all this and that. And then at the end of the night, you know, maybe they think they're gonna hook up with him, and he's.
He just wanted you to bring 20 people.
That's right.
Ain't nothing like a Puerto Rican with a BMW, dog.
Yep, kept it moving.
Rick
kept it moving. Big shout out to Rick Martinez.
His ears are ringing right now.
So we're in Vegas, huh?
Yeah.
You still in LA or Vegas?
Vegas the last time, though.
Oh, Vegas? Okay. I used to confuse, in my head, I used to confuse him and Ricky Cruz. But Ricky Cruz is a comedian from Miami. And Rick Martinez, a Puerto Rican guy from
Philly. He's from Philly. Originally. Yo, you know what he's into now? This is funny.
Who, Rick or Ricky Cruz?
Rick Martinez. Rick Martinez. He told me he's flying planes. He flies planes. Like, he showed me pictures and footage of him in the cockpit of a plane. Yeah. He's like, oh, yeah, man, I'm really into planes. I said, what? Like why? Like, he just, you know, he got into it. So he flies. He's trying to get certain kind of licenses or whatever like that. I was like, Rick Martinez is flying.
American greed.
This whole time, I just realized you're not talking about Chris Martinez. No. I thought you were talking about Chris Martinez.
Oh, remember Chris Martinez?
Because Chris was
killer?
Promoter,
not
too.
Not smitten. And
from the Laugh Factory?
I was like, wait, no, he moved to
How
Texas.
You doing, brother? You want to close out the show, the Latino night?
Latinos!
Yo,
the trench coat. Right.
Chris, we need you on the show, man. We got Paul Rodriguez coming over, Seinfeld.
That's what he was saying.
Talking about big money, brother.
Right.
Deals.
Whatever happened to him?
I'm bigger than that, baby.
Well, see, that's why you guys were asking what happened to Rick, and then you're saying Vegas, and then I'm thinking, no, he left to go to Texas with this girl he fell in love with. But that's what happened to Chris.
Yeah.
He's doing like Latino rights over there in San Antonio?
Chris met some girl, though, and fell hard for her, and like asked her dad for her hand in marriage, all officially.
Just her hand, by the way.
Dude, man, I haven't heard about anybody bring up Rick Martinez in a long time. But see, you're right about that, because every Latino would like have that one black dude too they could always call.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was it. But that's, you know what, look, and you know, once again, whenever I see you doing your thing and your specials on TV and whatnot, you know what I'm saying? We always feel happy and proud. But you know, it's the funny stories. This is the funny part. You know, like, you know what I mean? Now, you know, like you're getting your accolades now as you should, and the podcast is growing and all this and that. And there's a lot of things that's a lot easier now, I'm sure, than back in the days, you know, and people know you and all this and that. But man, sometimes it was funny, man. You know, those dates in Corpus at the shitty club, and the, you know what I'm saying, and the janky promoters, and the fat guy who's hitting a horn with his stomach, and you know what I'm saying, like all that. You know what I mean? And fighting with the club
Ernie
owner
G.
in his office, Ernie G. Yeah.
No bad words on the show.
You know what I'm saying? Like
Ernie
like
G,
that's the stuff we talk
hey,
about.
Hey, bro.
Yeah.
That's I want you to close out this National Council of La Raza show for us.
I got you
kid.
A book flight to Oakland, but you're going to make a stop in San Diego.
And then Nashville, bro.
And then Nashville, Chris.
All right. Or wait, or you would do a gig with Rudy in, I remember one time I did a gig with Rudy in like Scottsdale.
Yes.
And it was like a bunch of Latin lawyers, like abogados,
South Sombrano.
Los defensores, something
yes.
like that, right?
And that was a show for scholarships.
Yeah. See, Rudy's stuff was always like above board, you know
yeah.
what I mean? Like legitimate charities, like remember he used to do that, that Christmas joint. Maybe
yeah.
do that Christmas joint every year. I don't know if he still does it.
Toys
but.
For Tots, right?
Yeah,
with
but it was yeah, whatever thing. Remember,
yeah.
we would all perform there.
Totally
I remember one year
here.
The dude from Black Eyed Peas got up there
yeah.
and he was telling
Taboo.
Jokes. Yeah, Taboo came up there tell jokes and the You know, everybody was, you know, that's that kind of stuff. So when Rudy did something, you knew it was, you know, you knew it was legit. But these are all the people that, you know, that kind of helped us get going and get started. And, you know, I'm sure they appreciated us, you know, doing our thing. And, you know, we needed, you know, I needed the time at the time, you know, trying to get better.
Man. But sometimes they'd be like, hey, nobody remembers me no more, crying on Facebook. They win prizes. I continue to do stand-up comedy. You know, maybe you should have stopped, you know, get away from the ice house every once in a while. Mm-hmm. Hit up another room.
Yo, remember he used to have Thursday nights, Commerce? That place would be
packed. Ooh. Billboard. Ooh. Rudy Moreno Billboard.
Yeah,
bro.
That place was funky for
the Godfather years, huh?
Yeah, Brad Garrett used to show up. Senior Hall.
Yeah, that place, he had that place. Where is that? Every time I drive by that place, I'm just like,
never saw more than 100.
Right? Little Jaguar parked outside, huh?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You used to always see the Jaguar outside the ice house. I used to come up to Rudy. I said, Rudy, no offense, but I want to fuck your car. Okay?
He still has it, bro. He stole it from Band-Aids.
I don't know where that thing is, dog.
Nah, man. Big shout out. Shout out to Rudy. Shout out to all the promoters.
What you got coming up this week?
Okay, as I mentioned, we got the big Ship Hop coming up. Ship Hop. Look it up. Ship Hop. It's under the I Love the 90s tour banner. That'll be great. You know, I'll be in town for the next few weeks, I think, in the run up to Christmas. So I'm gonna try to jump up. I've been on the road so much. I'm gonna try to jump up around town, maybe like the Laugh Factory and the Improv and stuff like that.
Yeah, but I'll hit up Sam Tripoli.
Yeah. Sam's Tyler, old friend.
Skylar Stone or Sarah Mello.
Oh, yeah.
Sarah Mello, she booked like 5 shows now.
Yeah. Sarah's my homegirl, man. We love Sarah. Yeah. You can follow me at Kid from Kid and Play on Instagram and Twitter.
And your medicinal stuff.
You can check us out at Real Kid and Blaze on Instagram. Blaze. Yeah, and we, you know, we're gonna start to make it available. We're trying to get ready for this, you know, for the changes that are forthcoming in January, and try to make our strain, you know, more available down here. I mean, we're actually out of Bakersfield, you know, growing out of Bakersfield. And we got them in a few spots down here in L.A., but, you know, we're always trying to do and get better with it and go wider. So remember Kid and Blaze. And
we're in Bakersfield.
Kid and Cookies. We got deals with Highway 99. We got a couple of other ones that we mess with. And the Grow House is up there as well. So we got a cool grower by the name of Harry Blaze. He's like one of them. He's like a white dude, right? But he's like all into the science of weed. You know, like he reminds me of like who's the guy from Back to the Future? Like the guy that was, yeah, the guy was making the car. You know what I mean? Like he's just all into that, and he knows everything scientifical, you know, about weed. So we just kind of let him you know, do his thing, and he came out with a great strain. Ours is a hybrid. It's Girl Scout Cookies with the Snowman OG. So it's a nice hybrid.
What's up, fool?
Yeah, man, Bakersfield.
You were on the hot box with B-Real?
I sure was, man. I almost died.
Dude.
I almost died.
Dude, I didn't know that, like, it's a real hot box. There's none of that smoke is escaping.
Nah,
it's
we came down there. We came down there with a gang of our strain of Kid and Cookies, and they rolled up a gang.
Kid keeps it real, man. There's a few people that show up to weed shows with their own weed. There's three people now. There's Kid, I'm Kid and Play, Joe Diaz, and me. Mm-hmm. Every time I've been invited to a weed show, I always bring weed.
Yeah.
Because I know their shit might not be that good.
Yeah, not only that, and you want them to like your shit and talk about your shit. So we bought a stupid-ass jar, gave that to B-Real. He must have rolled up about 10 blunts. We got in the car, and I think I was in there for about a half an hour because he and I go way, way, way back, and we had a lot to talk about and whatnot. And I appreciated him, you know, trying to give my company exposure, because we, you know, we're all trying to follow his blueprint. I mean, he's the man when it comes to that.
That fool has lightsaber roaches, bro.
Yeah, he's got, so yeah, so he, that we had the blunts with the tips on them and all this and that. And man, he knocked my dick in the dirt, dude. I was so fucking faded, but it was great. It was a great exposure, and big shout to him for helping us out.
Shout out to Be Real TV,
Be
E-Zone.
Real TV.
And the other fool.
Yeah, the other, yeah. What's the other show? I did the other show. Yeah, the other show too, with the green screen.
Yeah, that'd Be Real TV and the guy E-Zone. We don't smoke the same.
Shaky.
What's up, fool? Felipe Esparza right here. Lisa O'Daniel Esparza, Rodrigo Torres.
Yeah, man.
We got Aaron over there looking for a house. Shout out to him. Always here.
Right. How does it feel to be able to live anywhere you want to?
Feels good. What's up, fool? Kid and Play right here. Chris Reed.
How you doing?
Kid and Blaze.
Hey, great to be here.
Hell yeah.
Let's get high.